Hello, Selling Pro. This is Dan Seidman of SalesAutopsy.com. You're about to hear seven of the funniest selling blunders that I've collected from over 600 tales in my library. And I've used these stories for 20 plus years in sales training and speaking to help sales pros get better at what they do. So as you hear these stories, think about maybe something dumb you've done in your selling past. And if you'll share your story with me and I use it, I'll send you a really cool gift. It might be the 21-bit audio version of the Selling Blunders. It might be the sales comic book, of which there is nothing like it on this planet. Hey, probably any planet. It might be the very unusual video game Revenge of the Reps, which you can check out at the website salesautopsy.com if you look at the products. There's a free version of the game there. Anyway, share your stories with me. Please think about me when you're looking for a keynoter for your national sales conference or for some very unique cutting-edge sales training. I'm your guy, Dan, at salesautopsy.com. Enjoy the seven stories, enjoy the seven lessons learned, and be sure to share these with your friends.
Radio days. Josh runs from his prospect to live and sell another day. It was my first job in sales, and I was about to have the worst experience of my life. I was selling radio advertising space in Colorado. It was about a month after the Columbine school shooting tragedy had occurred. And Howard Stern, famous shock jock, was the morning DJ on our station. He'd made some insensitive comments about the shooting, and this enraged the Denver community. Well, on a sunny Denver day, I was selling to an auto glass shop, a $36,000 contract. The woman owner said yes and signed the agreement. I requested her first installment check and she pulled out her checkbook, asking what company name to write in. Well, for some stupid reason, I said the radio station call letters rather than our corporate name. She froze, then asked, "Isn't that the station with Howard Stern?" Yes, I said, and she went absolutely berserk. She leapt to her feet and began screaming. Spit flew out of her mouth, and her foul language was unbelievable. I stared in shock until she threw a stapler and hit me in the head. Now, with blood streaming down my face, I run for the door, mad woman at my heels. I jump into my car, and she continues ranting, now kicking in the side of my door. This was selling? I drove 1 mile down the road, pulled over, and bawled like a baby. I heard you were supposed to have tough skin to sell, but this was beyond any expectation of mine. Here's your postmortem. Wow. Josh even has sales scars to show for his time on a selling battlefield. When you sell for some time, you will eventually run into angry clients. Josh just got lucky and learned his lesson early. Our earth is full of people and personalities of great variety. Appreciate the wonder of creation, or be in awe of the genius of evolution if you have the faith to believe in it, and expect the unexpected. Remember, you're unique, just like everybody else.
Selling mom plus new baby equals, well, Donna can handle it all, almost. My baby girl had filled her diaper and was screaming hysterically, so I pulled over my SUV and changed her in the back seat. I was exhausted all the time. As a successful sales pro, I'd barely given birth to my daughter and was back on the streets meeting clients and prospects. I'd wake up early after waking up throughout the night, feed my precious little one, pack a diaper bag, bundle up my baby, and drop her off at a home-based daycare service. That kid, dirty diaper, clean diaper, juggling act in the car was making me late for my first appointment. I raced into the woman's house and practically threw my daughter and her diaper bag at the lady, then raced back into the street to make my meeting. Did I mention how tired I was? The only thing I did wrong was to give up my black purse to my daycare provider and keep my black diaper bag. Simple mistake, could have happened to any fatigued postpartum full-time working mother. The thing that was wrong about the thing I did wrong was that I realized it about 10 minutes into my first appointment. Good Lord, that was a stupendous stink coming from my bag. I'm thinking, what a dummy I am, and what did I feed her last night? It was awful. I could not get in rapport with my prospect, who must have felt assaulted by the smell as well. No sale, of course. Postmortem. This story reminded me how badly I miss changing diapers now that my kids are old enough to fall out of trees. Most of you are probably familiar with the idea to be sensitive to prospect senses. Visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Did you also know that two other representational systems include the sense of smell and taste? Donna's story should remind you to make your sales calls pleasant prospect experiences. Listen for verbs that indicate whether your prospect processes his world through eyes, ears, or mouth. For a deeper understanding of this useful strategy, check out my book, The Death of 20th Century Selling.
Playing for prospects. Dan's presentation ignites the attention of 3,000 people. It was corporate America's biggest college recruiting event, a huge trade show, and I was a rookie working the booth for my company. I wanted to make a good first impression and had recommended a unique strategy to build booth traffic. Visitors received a pin with a flashing light and a number printed on the back. Anyone who found the matching person's badge would return to the booth, and both people would be eligible for a selection of electronic gifts and prizes. The idea created incredible buzz. Every speaker mentioned it during sessions. Many joked that they had felt hypnotized by all the flashing red lights in the audience. At the event's big dinner, 3,000 people filled the ballroom of the Hyatt Crown Center in Kansas City. A jazz band was played, and two incredible buffet tables ran wall to wall on either side of the room. Food covered the white tablecloths, and decorations included festive streamers, candles, and brightly polished musical instruments. As a trumpet player who had to choose between basketball or band in college, I long ago set aside my horn, but the temptation was too great, and I grabbed a trumpet off the buffet, knelt down next to a table of my colleagues, and started to play. 50 feet away, the band's drummer saw me and started to call me up on a stage. That was a bit more attention than I wanted, so I grinned, shook my head, and turned back to return the horn. I had pulled the trumpet out of a display and dragged the streamers across some of the candles. The spectacular centerpiece of brass instruments on the buffet table was now in flames. In the darkened room, the fire was actually quite beautiful, but I began beating on it anyway with the tablecloths themselves, finally extinguishing it and leaving a mass of blackened, smoking centerpiece. And the band played on. The evening continued without interruption. Waiters rushed to the table and began cleaning up the mess. People along the buffet table began laughing, and I was relieved that nothing bad really happened. That is, until my VP of sales heard about my artistic performance. Here's a postmortem. Yes, that was me, Dan Seidman, your sales horror story speaker and trainer that pulled this stunt. What is a salesperson? Someone crying for attention? Look at me, love me, buy from me. We do have a tendency to talk too much and take action when silence is okay. Sometimes you need to sell and shut up. Well, we did gain clients, prospects, and great exposure from that trade show, and I didn't need to go beyond the call of duty and try to be the show's shining star. By the way, my VP was furious later, but I bailed myself out with plenty of business from the event. How well do you use silence to sell? Do you work hard to say nothing at the proper times during your presentation? State your case, get out of the way, and you'll help your buyer buy better than before.
The trials and travails of your colleagues in sales will continue in just a moment. But first, do you have a sales horror story of your own? Why not share it? Let others benefit from your hardship. Visit salesautopsy.com and tell us all about your sales horror story.
Bad luck at the farm. John would be counting sheep instead of money in his sleep tonight. It suddenly didn't even matter that I had to spend another $5 to wash my dust-covered car after leaving this prospect's property. My partner and I had finished a tough series of sales calls on a large corporate farm. The owner was taking on a complete insurance package. We were covering everything. I was looking at almost $50,000 staring me in the, well, the bank account. It didn't even matter that I had to thoroughly scrape the bottom of my shoes before soiling the carpet of my car again. Hey, a Chicago city boy like me could make good money in the country, even with minimal selling skills. So there sat the four of us, the owner with his hands folded on his desk, and his accountant with hands folded atop a large leather book, the company checkbook. My partner and I beamed at each other and pulled out one last form. In order for us to see that you're completely covered, we need your livestock totals. I began to call out the animal names and received the numbers of each herd with babies listed separately. Beef cattle, milk cattle, horses, and pigs. Then, sheep, 120 was the reply. Ewes? Huh? Grunted the owner. Ewes, I said, clearly mispronouncing the word again. How many ewes you got? Let me see that form, the farmer said. I pointed and he yelled. That's ewes, you idiot. Have you ever been on a farm? How are you supposed to help me with my business if you know nothing about farming? You know what? Don't even answer that. Just get out. Get out of my office. We walked quickly to my car, not even stopping to clean our shoes, hopped in and drove away, $50,000 poorer. Here's your postmortem. Okay, so John was a bit short on his product knowledge training, but let's focus on something else. What do you do when you blow it on a call? Here's what I suggest at all speaking and training programs I do. Be very, very remorseful. Say something like, "Oh, Lord, you must think I'm my company's village idiot. I'm so sorry. If you don't want to do business with me, I completely understand." Don't be surprised if the prospect says, "Hey, that's okay. I've done some dumb things too. Let's keep going." If you feel bad, you'll make most people want to help you not to be so hard on yourself, and you could save a sale. Log Cabin Sales Call. Nancy is lost in the woods. I'm a single mom and doing quite well as a financial advisor. In fact, my income more than makes up for that of a two-parent family. My closing ratio is so high that I don't really look at any prospect as poor. Everyone has some money to move into my recommended investments. So when I set an appointment in a rural area of Connecticut, I wasn't worried. Landowners often have great money-saving habits, and even a small increase in return could have a large impact on their savings. It was evening as I drove up a long road to a large log cabin where nobody answered the door. Around the back I trudged, calling out the man's name who had agreed to greet me. The rather large, rugged-looking fellow was in the rear of the house and led me into his living room. Down I dropped into one of those big wooden chairs you see in front of Cracker Barrel restaurants. The room was Spartan in its design and decoration. Two other chairs sat atop an area rug, and a low-burning fire provided all the heat in the room. We chatted for about 25 minutes when he suddenly jumped up and asked to be excused. Moments later, my host stood at the door with a monstrous axe over one shoulder. It was one of those double-headed axes you see in fairy tale books or horror movies. Terror took me in an instant, and all I could think of was that my kids were going to grow up to be orphans. I was frozen in my chair as my prospect walked towards me, turned and swung the axe at the third chair. It splintered, and with a few more hacks and grunts, the wood was reduced to the size of fireplace logs, which was exactly their intended purpose. The room heat increased as the man tossed pieces of the dead chair onto the fire, and I broke into a sweat which had nothing to do with the temperature. My nerves were completely shredded, and though my brain was still in fight or flight mode, I would have picked flight. I had the sense to realize that if my prospect was chopping up furniture for heat, he had no money. I graciously and quickly ended the meeting, walked to and into my car, locked the doors, and drove home. Postmortem. Simple lesson here. It's actually the number one problem salespeople encounter. Disqualify prospects quickly, preferably by phone, before face-to-face time is invested. Set 3 to 5 criteria that identify your perfect prospect and ask questions early on to decide whether they fit for you. Disqualify quickly. You'll save yourself plenty of unwanted and unwarranted surprises. Buyer with big ears ends a sale. Nicole's rep relives a tormented sales childhood. I was managing a sales rep who had a serious aversion to asking for referrals. He was deathly afraid to use this strategy, the easiest way to gain new business. Even after a successful sale, he would actually start to sweat if he just thought about asking. Since a great deal of coaching is actually counseling, we dug into his past to find out what was going on here. One day, something triggered a memory of this story, and he wondered if this experience had anything to do with the problem. In Tom's rookie days as a life insurance salesperson with a large firm, he had to be accompanied by his boss on all sales calls. The very first client meeting Tom and his manager went to was with a successful female attorney. Tom watched as his boss smoothly convinced her of the need for not only personal coverage, but buy-sell policies for the law firm as well. On their way out, Tom's manager asked the female attorney for some referrals and was rewarded with some very highly qualified names. The two agents waited for the elevator in the historic stone and marble building. What they didn't realize was how well sound carried there. Tom's manager turned to his new agent and said, "You see, Tommy, this business is so easy, it's like shooting fish in a barrel." Moments later, the words, "I heard that," echoed down the hall from the female attorney. "Get back here," she barked. Tom and his manager walked into a cold room to a very heated client. The angry attorney waved their literature at them and asked for her life insurance applications and the list of referrals. She slowly tore everything in half, then tore it again, and dramatically walked to the shredder and fed their paperwork into the machine. Here's a postmortem. What a plot. Drama with great dialogue and a sales call, and revenge to top it off. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the ocean, new clients are reversing course and killing sales. There are lots of lessons here. Let's just focus on one. How well and often do you ask for referrals? Your clients brag about other things they buy, cars, clothing, digital cameras. Get them to brag about the great decisions they made to buy from you. Ask for referrals. It's like asking for a raise and getting a resounding yes. Dog Days of Selling. Russ finds out how high his heart rate runs. I'm cold calling a hot lead on a humid summer day with an associate in rural Iowa. Driving up to the farmhouse, the crunch of dirt and gravel is the only sound we hear. The land looks desolate and lifeless, like a scene in one of those movies where the world ends and all that's left are a couple of humans, us, and a bunch of mutants. We look at each other and I tell my partner that I'll see if anyone's home. And if you're into scary sci-fi movies, this is the part in the plot where you realize, okay, this is the guy who's gonna die. I gather up my briefcase, straighten my tie, and start the 200-foot trek to the front door. Halfway to the porch, a movement catches my eye. It's behind a grain bin, kitty-corner to the house. Maybe someone is home. I'm about to discover it's not someone, but something. Like a scene straight out of that B-rated horror movie, a deranged dog the size of a small horse comes skidding out from behind the bin at full bore, headed straight for me. The sight of that mutant beast is permanently burned into my brain. Mangy hair, huge fangs moving at Mach 3 toward me, his next victim. In less than an instant, I move from frozen to frantic and start my life-saving sprint for the car. My partner, overcome in a complete fit of laughter at my certain demise, gains enough control over himself to roll down the passenger window. At the last second, I literally dive into the window with the monster at my heels. Sweating and safe inside the car, my heart continues to pound as we watch the dog eat my briefcase. Postmortem. Russ, great story. Our fleet-footed sales pro learned to call first and qualify the lead, then set an appointment. Cold calling can be an exhausting and discouraging activity. Please reconsider whether this investment is a good use of your time. However, if your company requires it, consider this work an investment in your selling future. Great salespeople attain success by combining a foundation of hard, consistent activity with the ability to handle objections. These come quicker through lots of cold calling by phone as well as face-to-face. And Russ's tale also reveals a hiring secret of great sales executives. You now know why companies love to hire athletes.
There you have it. There are thousands of sales horror stories in the world. Many of them remain untold. We hope the tales of woe you've just heard and the post-mortem advice serve to help you in your quest for sales excellence. And remember, if your story has yet to be told, share it with us at salesautopsy.com. Contact Dan Seidman at the website to bring him into your company today. The preceding horror is a copyright feature of Sales Autopsy Incorporated and may not be reproduced without express written permission. We thank you for listening and wish you all the horror-free success you deserve.